Corinthians chapter number 4. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I want to read some verses out of here. As I thought about the week and as I thought about really the month of December, I really had all intentions up till, I guess it was Friday morning. I was up here studying. And I had all intentions of going a different direction today and preaching more towards the New Year's and goals in the New Year's and things to accomplish in the New Year's. And I that's the area I was going in, and the Lord really led me in a different direction. And through studying, showed me some things here out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that I think will be a help to us this morning. As I look back over the month of December, we've experienced a lot of adversity, I guess you could say it that way, in our church, in a medical sense. We're still together in unity. The Lord's blessed us in that. Amen. As far as I know, we're all together in unity, and we love each other, and we're serving God together. And nobody hates each other. If you do, you're keeping it hid quite well. But you know, we have experienced a lot of heartaches through the month of December. We really have. I got to thinking, And I got to think about Brother Robert's mom. I got to thinking just prior to the month of December, Brother Kevin's brother going home to be with the Lord. I got to thinking about Miss Kirsten having the baby early and a little scared there with all of that and praying that all that would be all right. And I got to thinking about Miss Vicky being in the hospital. And I got to thinking about Brother Denny having kidney stones. I know we laugh about that a little bit, but man, that can really be a serious thing. And I got to thinking about Miss Mildred was in the hospital a couple times. And man, it's just been a lot going on. There really has been. There's been a lot going on. Different ones in the hospital, different ones sick. And not only that, there's some other families sitting here that I'm not at liberty to go into the storms that they're facing even today and over the past few weeks that's come in their life. And I read 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 just in reading. And as I did, I come across these verses and began to study on them again, Brother Chris, and I think there's some things here this morning that maybe God would help us today, and who knows, He may leave us here all day to learn from and to treasure and to hide away in our hearts, and that when we get in times like this again, that may be a help to us, and you pray for us as we preach. 2 Corinthians 4, let's pick up reading in verse number 1. There's a word that I find very interesting. Man, I got a lot I want to say. I hope you'll pray for me this morning. There's a word I find very interesting in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Matter of fact, there's two. It's the word we and the word our. And pay attention to those words as I read this chapter to you. The Bible said in verse number 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul didn't say, seeing that I have this ministry and I have mercy, receive mercy, that I faint not. That's not what Paul said. Paul includes every one of us in that verse this morning. He said, therefore, seeing we, that's all of us, have this ministry. And can I say the ministry of Amazing Grace Baptist Church is a we ministry, or it's our ministry. It's not one individual person, but it's everybody working together. I know everybody couldn't be there Christmas Eve night, but I hope everybody was praying Christmas Eve night. He goes on to say in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I could preach 2 hours on verse number 2, but I'm not. Verse number 3, but if our, there it is, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord. And what did he say? And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in what? Our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing in the body, or always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in what? Our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with joy. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, everything he just talked about, he said it was a light affliction. When he talked about right there, being in trouble on every side, but not in distress, being perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. He said it was light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, hallelujah, they are eternal. Now I want to look primarily in verse 8, 9, 13, and 14, and 16, 17, and 18. But we had to read the whole chapter to see what he's saying. Now I want to preach on this thought this morning and maybe even tonight. We'll just see how the Lord leads. And stay with me when I tell you the thought. Let me lay the groundwork. I want to preach on this thought. Knocked down, but not knocked out. Knocked down, but not knocked out. Knocked down, but not knocked out. That's where Paul was at, man. He was knocked down, but he wasn't knocked out, amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd illuminate my mind. Father, you know our physical need this morning, God, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd bring back to our remembrance the things that we've studied, God. Lord, we stand in dire need of thy help, God, and I need you today. I need your presence, Father. I need your touch, God. May the Holy Ghost manifest himself to us today. Lord, I pray that we'd leave out of here renewed today, God. I pray, that Lord, that we'd leave out of here recharged today, God, and ready, Father, to go out into this world and tell somebody else about you. There's no doubt there's people sitting underneath the sound of my voice, Lord, that this month they've been knocked down. But God, help us in these last days to not be knocked out. Lord, we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory, and we'll give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray it, and all of God's children said, amen and amen. You can be seated. Know with me verse number 1. The Bible said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received a mercy,
we faint not. Look in verse 16. For which cause, what does he say? We faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He said, seeing that we have this ministry, we faint not. That we faint not. As I said just a second ago, we have experienced a lot of troubles in the past 6 to 8 weeks at our church. We've spent a lot of time in the hospital and even at the funeral home, and adversity has come and problems have come and heartaches have come, and that's just part of the spiritual walk with God. The Bible said, "Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution." Job said, "Man that is born of a woman, it's but few days and full of troubles." And they will be times in our life where we do get knocked down, but may God help us in the times that we are knocked down to not be knocked out. That's what he's saying here. He's saying that we faint not. We faint not in these times. Have you ever said, "I just don't know how much more of this I can take"? Or have you ever said, "I don't know how much longer that I can keep doing this. I just can't keep going. I just can't keep going on. I don't know how much more of this I can take"? I'm sure that we've all found ourselves there in some point of time in our life. And if you've never found your place there in your spiritual walk with God, I promise you the day will come that you'll find yourself there, and you'll even ask God, "Lord, why am I here? How much more are you going to put on me? God, I can't take more of this." There will be times that we get knocked down, but may God help us to not be knocked out during those times. Sometimes when we make those statements, it may be that it's in reference to a job or in our marriage or perhaps concerning something at the church. It may be said during times of trouble or sickness, but regardless of our situation, we must all certainly feel like there are times when we just can't go on anymore. I think sometimes that when we read our Bible, we have this misunderstanding, and we are misled to believe that the people of days gone by and the people of our Bible was some supernatural person. There was not but one supernatural person that is recorded in our Bible, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, he was tempted as we are. He faced storms like we did. And as we study our Bible and read about Paul here, and the distress that Paul is in and this time that he comes to, we think he's some supernatural person that he was able to make it through. Or we read the book of Job and we see the problems and the troubles that Job faced, and we have this thought in our mind, he is some supernatural person. No, friend, he's just like you and I. He was a human being, and if he got knocked down but didn't get knocked out, then God can help you and I in the midst of our troubles and in the midst of our heartaches and in the midst of our sorrows to not get knocked out when we get knocked down. I thought about this, and by way of introduction, I want to look at a couple of things here that Paul dealt with, and I guess you could say it this way. Let's look at his adversity and his attitude by way of introduction. You see, Paul was knocked down, but Paul was not knocked out. Amen. Can I just echo something again? You will get knocked down. You will get knocked down in this spiritual walk. They will be problems, Brother Chris. I think sometimes we think, man, now that I'm saved and I'm sold out to serve God and I'm doing something for God, man, everything's going to be great. Brother Chad, I'm going to tell you something. The more you do for God, the more you sell out for God, the more problems that we end up facing. Amen. That's just the way it is. The devil puts more on us sometimes. The devil fights us more. And can I just say this? Those times that we're knocked down, that is the times God matures us and makes us into what he has us to be. It's real easy to pray when everything's going fine. It's real easy to preach on faith when everything's going fine. It's real easy to say trust God when everything's going fine, but stand with the family on Christmas Eve night when the doctors pretty much say there's no hope. This is the only little bit of hope that we're clinging to. It's real easy to preach it then, but when we get to those times in our life, I promise you it's time times that we get knocked down.
Even as a pastor, in the backside of our mind, we go, Lord, are you going to bring him through this or not? Knocked down, but not knocked out. You see, there was adversity. But Paul, in the midst of adversity, had the right attitude. Can I just say this, and then I'll give you the introduction. Your attitude will determine your altitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude. You see, because of your attitude, that's what will provoke your prayer life. That's what will build your, if we have the attitude, and so many has this, well, God can't do this. I'm sure he can do it for everybody else, but I just don't think he can do it for me. You know what? He's probably not going to, because you have no faith that he can. His adversity and his attitude, stay with me, number one this morning by way of introduction. He was crowded, but not crushed. Paul was crowded, but not crushed. Note with me verse number 8. We'll bring the introduction out of verse 8 and 9, and then we'll bring the message out of 13, verse 13 and on. The Bible said, we are troubled on every side. Now, listen to me just a minute, and man, we may not get out of the introduction. I'm just going to mind God. Paul didn't say, I am troubled on every side. If Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 4 and said, I am troubled on every side, we would have thought, man, Paul is in a fix. But what did Paul say? Paul said, we are troubled on every side. That's every one of us. That's every saved person sitting in here. We are troubled on every side. That's what Paul said. You see, at this point, Paul says, we are troubled on every side, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You see, Paul was crowded, but he was not crushed. He said, yes, I'm crowded on every side. He said, yes, the walls are coming in around me. He said, yes, everything's weighing down on me, but I'm not in distress. He said, I know in whom I have believed, and I know that he can help me. You see, his attitude in the midst of adversity was this: I am crowded, but I will not be crushed. So many times when adversity comes, our attitude is this: it's crowding in around us, and we just can't take it anymore. And we allow the adversity to crush us down and to knock us out while we are knocked down. But Paul said, no, friend, I may be crowded, but I refuse to be crushed in the midst of adversity. Oh, yeah. I refuse to be crushed. The word troubled means to crowd. Paul experienced troubles and trials to the point where it was all closing in around him. I think we refer to this condition in our day as stress. You say, I don't know nothing about that job. Go with me this week. We refer to that condition as being stressed. You hearing me this morning? Paul says, we are troubled on every side. He said, I'm crowded, but I will not be crushed. I began reading some different things, and I come across this story late last night. You may have heard of this lady's name. Her name is Janelle McMillan. Has anybody ever heard of her? Raise your hand if you have. Janelle McMillan. Let me tell you the story of her life real quick. Janelle McMillan was the last person pulled from the World Trade Centers the World Trade Centers. It was just after 12:30 p.m. on September the 12th, 2001. The towers had fallen 27 hours earlier. From inside a dark, oven-hot tomb atop of a ragged ridge of tangled steel, two firefighters heard a voice. It was McMillan. At that time, was at the age of 30, a single mom, and on the job only 9 months as a Port Authority clerk. McMillan's head was pinned between two pieces of concrete, her legs sandwiched by a piece of stairway. Her toes had gone numb hours ago. Her right hand was pinned down under her leg. Only her left hand was free, and it was just her hand. For hours, she had reached upward with that free hand into the blackness and dust, pushing and twisting her fingers into small spaces between the steel and the concrete. She listened, and as she listened, she could make out the voices of rescuers, emergency sirens, even the beeping of backing up trucks. She tried tapping. She tried calling out. But her voice was so weak that she could barely get above a whimper. But in the midst of all of this, as I just said, she was able to get her free hand up just a little bit. And the rescuers came by and saw her hand in the midst of the rubbish and reached down and grabbed her hand. She goes on to tell her story that for that 27 hours, she had an intense conversation with God. And it was because of God that she was able to get her hand up just a little bit, and they was able to see her hand and rescue her. You see, she was crowded, but she was not crushed. How many times does it seem that's the way that we are in our life? Everything comes in around us, and it seems that we are pinned to the ground. We are knocked down, but in the midst of us being knocked down, isn't it good to know that we can lift a little old hand and ring the prayer bells of heaven? And there is a God that is the rescuer of our soul that comes running to us and helps us in our times of being crowded to not be crushed. You see, Paul's attitude in his adversity was he was crowded, but he was not crushed. I say this number two by way of introduction quickly. He was not only crowded, but not crushed. He was doubting, but not in despair. You see, what did he say? We are perplexed, but not in despair. You see, Paul came to that point where he was doubting. When you study it out, the word perplexed means to have no way out. That's in those times in his life when he literally felt at a loss. But he was not at a total loss. You see, Paul at this time, he was doubting, but he was not in despair. What did he say again? He said this, we are perplexed. We are at times of doubting, but we are not in despair. Can I encourage you this morning that in the midst of our doubting, and I promise you there will be times that you doubt. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, every time I've ever faced adversity and problems in my life, I've never doubted. Well, God bless you, sign my Bible when I get done preaching this morning. Because I promise you, there's been times that this old boy right here has doubted. I promise you, there's been times in the past 72 hours, Brother Greg, that I found myself doubting. When we got in the truck and left Northern and started up the road, Brother Greg was with me Christmas Eve night, and we started up the road, and there probably wasn't five words said between Northern and Forsyth Hospital when we got down there. And I'm just going to be real honest with you. In my mind, I was doubting. I was doubting. I knew God could do it. I just questioned if God would do it. You may not have got all that. I knew He could. I just questioned if He would. There was times in my mind that I was doubting. And Paul gets to this place where he is doubting, but in the midst of his doubt, he did not despair. Can I say this? Even though we may come to those times when we are doubting God and we're wondering why all of this is happening, may it not lead us into a time of despair. Because if it leads us into a time of despair, it'll lead us into a time of despondency, and we'll get away from God, and we'll get out of church. May those times of doubting not lead us to despair, but may it lead us to a place on our knees where we cry out to a thrice holy God. Even when we don't know the words to say, we can say, oh God, and I'm glad the Holy Ghost takes it back to the throne of God and tells the Son what to tell the Father. It is times of doubting, but may God help us to not be times of despair when we walk out on God in the time of doubting. You see, his attitude in the midst of adversity, he was crowded but not crushed. He was doubting but not despairing. He was followed but not forsaken. Look at what he said. Persecuted but not forsaken. Persecuted. The word persecuted means to be pursued or to be followed. The word forsaken to me means this, to be deserted or left behind. You study the life of Paul, and from the very beginning of Paul's conversion, right after he started preaching, and you'll find this, everywhere that Paul went, it seemed that trouble followed him. He was threatened. He was in prison. He faced death on several different occasions, yet he said, I am not forsaken. You see, the enemy was after him. Paul suffered persecution over and over and over again. He was followed. Have you ever been to that place in your life where you was afraid to answer the phone because you was afraid of what would be said next, and it felt like trouble followed you everywhere you went? Can I say this? There will be times that we are followed, but I sure am glad that we are not forsaken. I'm glad that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. I'm glad that we have a lily in the midst of our valley. I'm glad that we have a bright and morning star in the midst of the midnight hour. I'm glad we've got somebody that's altogether lovely. I'm glad we've got somebody that said, in the midst of our trouble and in the midst of our adversity and in the midst of our problems, that He would be there. He is a very present help in the times of trouble. Amen. He said, I'm followed, but I'm not forsaken. Oh yeah, He's always been there. He's always been there. Look at this. Paul's attitude in the midst of his adversity. He was crowded but not crushed. What was it? He was doubting but not despairing. What was it? He was followed but not forsaken. Look, there's one more part of this verse. Paul says this, cast down but not destroyed. What was his attitude in the midst of adversity? He was ditched but not destroyed. What did he say? He said cast down. He'd been cast down. He'd been knocked off his feet. But he had not been destroyed. He said, yeah, I've been cast down. I've been thrown in the ditch, but I'm not destroyed. I'm not destroyed. Oh, yeah, I could say it. I would say it this way. He had been knocked down, but he had not been knocked out. Amen. Paul had been knocked down, but he had not been knocked out. Let me give you the message very quickly, and I understand what time it is, and I'm going to watch the clock. So here's the question that arises today. Preacher, when I get knocked down, how can I keep from being knocked out? You've just shown me that we're knocked down. How can I keep from being knocked out? Well, number one, I'm going to preach it quick. Stay with me. I know what time it is, but I want to follow the Lord also. I really do. Number one, being knocked down but not being knocked out. Note with me verse number 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. Look in verse number 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's faith. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Preacher, how can I keep from being knocked out when I'm knocked down? Number one, I would say this. Faith will keep you from being knocked out when you're knocked down. What did he say in verse number 13? He said, we having the same spirit of faith, the same faith that Paul had in that day. He said, we, that's every one of us sitting here that's saved by the grace of God. I'll tell you how you'll keep from being knocked out when you're knocked down. It's through faith. Forsake all, I'll trust him. There'll have to be that time of faith in our life where we learn to trust God and put every bit of our being in God. It's sad to say, but the only time faith is exercised in 90% of the Christian's life, it is when they are saved. But there ought to be a time of faith where we trust God, and that time will come where we'll be to the point that we're knocked down. And the only thing that'll keep us from being knocked plumb out of this race is having faith in an all-knowing God that sees everything, hears everything, knows everything, knows past time, present time, future time, all at the same time, and all-knowing God, and we put our faith in Him. You see, here's what it was said by the leading physician at Johns Hopkins. He says that 70% of people with clinical depression recover quickly and more often if they are people of faith. Yesterday afternoon, I got to the hospital, and Olivia was wanting to go with me to see Brother Joe, and I told her she could go with me after the meeting yesterday, and I didn't say nothing about that, but my soul, what a meeting we had Friday and Saturday. Wow. Man. What about that message on the chamber? I'll get off on that and preach anyway. I got to the hospital. If you want to hear those messages, they're on our website. They're already uploaded on it. I got to the hospital and started down the hall. Olivia and myself, I'm preaching fast, but listen to me. I got to the hospital and started down the hall. And you that's been there where Brother Joe's at, you go down that long hallway on the first floor back to the neurological or brainiatic or stroke center ICU part back there. I can't say all them big words. It's probably from here to the road out there. That hall is probably longer than that. I started down that hallway yesterday, myself and Olivia. As we was going down that hallway, I looked, and around the corner come Heath and Morgan, that's Morgan's boyfriend, and Marie. They had brought Marie for the first time to see Brother Joe. They started down that hallway, and whenever they did, I knelt down, and I looked down through there, and I went like that, and Marie seen me and took off running towards me. Whenever she did, I took off running towards her. I didn't care who was in there, man. I took off running towards her, and I stopped from about me to Miss Melba, and she leaped, come through the air, and I reached out and grabbed her, Brother Greg, and I pulled her up close to me, and I hugged her, and I kissed her on the cheek, and just held her a minute. She laid her little head down on my shoulder, and I said, I sure do love you, and I just loved on her a minute, and she loved on me, and I think I needed it more than she needed it. And I set her back down. We talked a little while. You know what happened? When she jumped and left the ground coming towards me, she had all faith that I was going to catch her, that I was going to take care of her. Can I tell you something? When we get knocked down to keep from being knocked out, we're going to have to take a leap of faith and trust that the good God of glory is going to catch us. And can I just tell you, He will. He will. You said, preacher, how do I keep from being knocked down or knocked out when I'm knocked down? Number one, it'll be faith. Number two, I'm about done, I promise you. Number two, here's what will keep you from being knocked out when you're knocked down. Not only faith, facts. I like facts. Matter of fact, I was in there with Miss Megan and Miss Morgan and Miss Debbie, and Heath and Sean was in there with us. When the doctor came in, Dr. Brown, he's about this tall, he's white-headed, hunchback, got longer hair and a old white beard, and has absolutely no personality at all. But he's smart. They say he's one of the best brain surgeons that there is. He come in there. He said, we got a problem. Said there's a blood clot at the stem of his brain. We got to go in there and get it. It's a very serious surgery. I'm going to fix it up in your husband's head and go into his brain, take it out. Got any questions? Of course, Miss Debbie, Miss Megan, and Miss Morgan was just astonished, so I began to ask questions. I looked straight at him, and I said, tell us the facts, man. Don't beat around the bush. He hadn't. I said, but what's the risk? Be honest with us. Be honest with us. I told the doctor that was at Northern, which we all knew him good, and told him, I said, man, be straight, Miss Debbie. Tell us the facts. Let me tell you something. When you get knocked down, what will keep you from being knocked out is the facts. You say, well, preacher, what is the facts? I'm glad you asked me. Let me tell you. Verse number 14. Knowing, that's a fact. That's no questions asked. Fact from God. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also, by Jesus and shall present us with you. You see, the fact is this. We know that after the death, Jesus is going to be raised up. He's going to raise us up again. But that same resurrection power that was able to lift us up at the day that He comes back, and the same resurrection power that got Him
him up out of the grave when he was dead is the same power that you and I can experience. It's the same power that can lift us up out of sin. It's the same power that can lift us up out of the sorrows of our life. It's the same power that can lift us up above the shadows of the trouble. The fact is this, he's still on the throne and he's still in control. The facts will keep you from being knocked out while you are knocked down. When the armies of Napoleon swept over Europe, one of his generals made a surprise attack on the little town of Feldrick at the Austrian border. As Napoleon's armies, as they maneuvered on the heights above Feldrick, a council of its citizens were hastily summons to decide whether to surrender or to attempt to defend. In this assembly, the pastor of the church rose to declare, "This is Easter Sunday. We have been counting on our own strength, and that will fail. This is the day of the Lord's resurrection. Let us ring the bells and have service as usual, and leave the matter in God's hands. We know only our weakness and not the power of God." The council accepted his plan. In a few minutes, the church belfry chimed the joyous bells announcing the Savior's resurrection. The enemy, hearing the sudden peal, concluded that the Austrian army had arrived during the night, broke up camp, and before the Easter bells had ceased, the danger had been lifted. You see, the pastor of that little community said, "We've been depending on our own power. We need to step back and depend on God's power." And the facts are, he is able. It's two simple words, but God. But God. Preacher, how can I keep from being knocked down or knocked out when I'm knocked down? Number one, your faith. Number two, the facts. Number three, look at verse 16. "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." He said the inward man was renewed day by day. You see, it'll take faith. It'll take facts. Number three, it'll take focus. You have to stay focused. You will have to stay focused. There in verse number 15, he says it's for the glory of God. You see, he stayed focused on what mattered. Listen to this briefly. Johnny Fulton was run over by a car at the age of 3. He suffered crushed hips, broken ribs, a fractured skull, and compound fractures in both legs. He did not look as if he would even live, but he would not give up. In fact, he later ran the half a mile in less than 2 minutes. What about Walt Davis? Was totally paralyzed by polio when he was 9 years old, but he did not give up. He became the Olympic high jump champion in 1952. Shelley Mann was paralyzed by polio when she was 5 years old, but she would not give up. She eventually claimed 8 different swimming records for the U.S. and won a gold medal at the 1956 Olympics. In 1938, Karoly Takacs was a member of the Hungary's world champion pistol shooting team and a sergeant in the army. He lost his right hand when a grenade he was holding exploded. But Takacs did not give up. He learned to shoot with his left hand and won gold medals in 1948 and 1952 in the Olympics. What about Lou Gehrig? He was so clumsy as a ball player when he was a boy that the neighborhood kids would not even let him be on his team. But now, today, he is entered into the World Hall of Fame in baseball. What about Woodrow Wilson? Could not even read until he was 10 years old. But what happened to him? He stayed committed as a person and became the 28th president of the United States of America. What about this man right here? At the age of 7, he had to go back to work to help support his family. At 9, his mother died. At 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. At 23, he went into debt and became a partner in a small store. At 26, his partner died, leaving him a huge debt. By the age of 35, he had been defeated twice when running for a seat in the Congress. At the age of 37, he won the election. At 38,
39, he lost his re-election bid. At 41, his four-year-old son died. At 42, he was rejected for a land officer role. At 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. At 47, he was defeated for the nomination for vice president. At 49, he ran for Senate and again lost. At the age of 51, he was elected president of the United States of America. And during his second election, he was assassinated. But still in history, he is one of the greatest presidents ever known. And his name was Abraham Lincoln. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm simply saying this, that in the midst of adversity and everything else going on around us, and in the midst of us being knocked down, may we keep our focus on He, the author and the finisher of our faith. And may we not be knocked down or knocked out while we are knocked down. See, it'll take faith. See, it'll take focus. You see, it will take facts, but I'm done. Come, Miss Tanya. Start playing. While we are knocked down to keep us from being knocked out, it will take us remembering the future. It'll take us remembering the future. Listen, let me read you a verse. Look in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen to what your Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, I like this, which shall be revealed in us. You see, here's the way to keep from being knocked out when you're knocked down. Take faith. Take the facts. He's here. Take staying focused. Here's the thing that drives it all. It takes remembering the future. I said, preacher, you know what the future holds? Sure do. Let me see your hand. World's going to get worse and worse. But for God's children, we fix and leave. That's future. You know what? Your hand says the same thing. Be $25 after church. It's thinking about the future. He said the problems of this life, they're really nothing compared to the weight of glory. One of the doctors looked at me that I knew well on Thursday. It was just me and him standing there. Not on Thursday, on Tuesday. I don't even know what day it is. I guess it's Sunday because I'm preaching. Miss Nicole, we're standing there. It's just me and him. And I looked at him and I said, listen to me. I said, I know you can't say a lot. I said, but tell me something in layman's terms and shoot me straight. Here's what he said. I'll never forget it. He said, Joe's healing is on its way. I said, okay. And he looked at me and he said, he's a man of faith. He knows who God is. And the doctor was a Christian man that I know personally. He said, he knows who God is, don't he? And I said, oh yeah. He said, he's one of the pillars of our church. He said, everything going to be just fine then. And he turned around and walked off. He was saying it this way, as old Job said. All the appointed days of my life will I wait until my change comes. You know what old Job was saying? Job was saying this. If I get out of this trouble right here, then it'll be all right. If I get out of this storm right here, then that's all right. But if I don't, oh yeah, if I don't, There's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. I thought a lot about Brother Robert this week. Many of you know Brother Robert's mom's very sick. She's got cancer. They're trying to treat it, but she's a very sick lady. Very sick lady. And I've in and out of the hospital all week, and I've thought about her, Brother Kevin, or Brother Robert. And I thought about this. You know what? She's going to be all right. She told me about when she got saved. Matter of fact, the night that they told her, we was over at Elkin. Brother Matt was with me. We was over at Elkin in the hospital with you. And she looked up at me, and here's what she said. I don't know if you remember it or not, but she said this. Preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. And I got real close to her, and she said, I'm a winner either way. I'm a winner. Whew. I just felt a breeze from way above the North Pole. I'm a winner either way. Hey, I got good news, church. I know the future. And you know what, Miss Summer? It's all going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You know what? One day, if God don't come back, I'll probably have to stand beside a hospital bed with my dad. I'll probably have to watch my dad take his final breath. You know what? That will probably be the darkest valley I've ever been in, because me and my dad's like that right there. But you know what? When I get knocked down that day, Brother Josh, because I will, I'll not be knocked out. And the reason is, whew, y'all ready to go home? And I feel like preaching again. I know the future. Miss Regina, it's going to be all right. It's all going to work out. It's going to be all right. Been some storms there in y'all's house this year. Some big ones. Everybody sitting here don't know that. But I do. There's still some storms down there around Granny's house, ain't there? But you know what? Hallelujah. It's going to be all right. It's going to be, hey, for the child of God, Brother Andrew, it's never looked no better. Hey, Brother Greg, it's going to be all right. Preacher, how can I keep from being knocked out when I'm knocked down? Have faith. Remember the facts. Stay focused. And remember the future. There's a better day a-coming. Oh, yeah. I'll say my last goodbyes to the last people one day. I'll walk in front of the last coffin one day at the last funeral that I ever do. There's a better day coming for the child of God. Our Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you take our feeble efforts and bless.